Good afternoon, welcome to Know Yourself. This is Dan Udell here, and I've got a very special guest. I've got a lady here from America on a Skype call with me called Jenna Stanley. Hi Jenna, how you doing?
Hello.
It's nice to have you here. We're going to talk a little bit today about like mental health and personal development. And yeah, really, like I say, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. It was just like, it's crazy, like on Instagram, how like you can reach out to people and stuff like this just happens. Like, when did we start talking? Was it a couple of days ago?
Yeah. I got a message in my thing and you're like, I'd love to interview you. And I was just like, what? Me? Yeah. Someone wants to interview me?
I was absolutely blown away by some of the stuff that I read on your page, and I just thought, yeah, I got to get you on the podcast.
So, thank you.
It's all right. So, yeah, I'd love to start to hear a little bit about your story. So, you know, it's up to you. You can go, like, right the way back, but, you know, when did your journey with mental health start?
When I was 8 years old.
8 years old.
I was having a fight with my mother. Okay. I was always a little off. I always knew there was something wrong with me, even that young. So I was having a fight with my mom. I don't know what it was about, but it got really heated. And for some reason, I didn't have any more words left to say.
Yeah.
And I actually, like, pushed my mother. I didn't want to cause harm to my mom. I didn't want to actually even push my mom. There was nothing else that happened. Then my father, rightfully so, freaked out, took me to the police station to scare me.
All right.
And I went to the police station, and I'm sitting in there, and here comes the big bad cop trying to scare me. And right when he said, "What happened?" I looked at him and I said, "I need help." And I'm this 8-year-old kid telling this cop in a police station that I needed help.
Yeah, 8 years old.
So that's where it all started.
So, like, what was the feeling that you had, if you could, like, sort of bottle that up in a moment?
It's just overwhelmed. Just so overwhelmed. Like, I can't even... It's weird because I'm 30 now, and I was 8 then, and I remember this day like it was yesterday. And it just scared me because I love my mother and I didn't want to hurt my mother. And I guess I started getting kind of freaked out that if I just put my hands on my mom, what else could I do?
It was like a scary moment for you.
Yeah, it really, really was.
That's amazing.
Really scary. But it was funny because I also thought though, like when I was there, I was like, okay, if I ask for help, right? Like, it's all gonna get better from here. But I didn't realize that by asking for help,
yeah,
it meant that, like, everything's gonna change. Like, now, here come the doctors and this and that, and then all of a sudden, I'm slapped with a title that's gonna make me different forever. It's like, yeah. Shit, was I ready for that? I don't know.
Yeah. So what happened next? So you're at the police station, and you've said, I need help.
I need help. Yeah. So then my dad came in, and they were like, okay. And then my father started looking into, like, psychiatrists and therapists and stuff like that. So I started going to places like that, and they kept saying I had ADD or ADHD.
Okay.
And when I was in school, there were these kids that were diagnosed with that, and that was the only thing that anyone was diagnosed with at the time. And I knew I didn't have that. So every step of the way, these people are telling me I have ADD and I have ADHD. And I'm like, no, I don't. I don't. I don't have this. I don't have this.
What were the symptoms of, like, what you would say you had at the time? I know you didn't know what you did have, but what were the symptoms?
That I was having... I was basically irritable all of the time. I spoke very quickly. I would jump from topic to topic. Couldn't sit still. all things that seemed like it could be the ADHD, but I was also inside. It was more of like confusion, and all of a sudden I would have like these high peaks of like energy, and I would talk really fast and I'd get really excited about something, and then 5 minutes later I'm crying about something else if it didn't go correctly. Like, it just, the fluctuations were
like a roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, but it was more than, you know, just having ADD, and I knew that. So my father took me to Boston's Hospital for Children and had a psych evaluation done on me, and it was like 8 hours in a room with this dude.
8 hours?
And when I left...
8 hours, that's a long time.
Yeah, you tell him, yeah, to like play with blocks and do weird shit. It was just very strange. It was a long day, man. And, yeah, it was very long. But when I left there, they told my dad that I had bipolar disorder and anxiety. So finally, all of a sudden, I'm leaving there with something better than ADHD that seemed a little bit more accurate. I mean, kind of devastating, but accurate.
What did they tell you? Oh, sorry, go on. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's cool.
What's that? What did they tell you your life would be like once they diagnosed you?
Difficult.
Yeah.
They were telling me all of the things in my life that were going to be basically impossible to accomplish and things to expect. And it was terrifying because they were like, relationships will be hard to have. Marriage, schooling will be very hard, like graduating school probably won't happen, like stuff like that. Drugs, alcohol, all that stuff, which, you know, I can't say that none of that, you know, didn't occur, but
yeah.
You know, you kind of just, you got to go through it and, you know, hopefully you can come out of it, yeah. Which I did.
That's amazing. So you're told that there's certain aspects of your life that are going to be impossible or very difficult. So what happens next?
So the doctor gave me a name of a psychiatrist who ended up being the best person ever. Like, he was amazing and he helped me. And all of a sudden I was on medication that were actually doing something, and it was still a battle because I was young and growing and more disorders were forming as I grew older. Mm. But I stuck with that psychiatrist for 10 years and he made a big difference in my life.
Wow.
So I'm very grateful for him.
What would an example be of like one of the greatest things that he taught you about yourself? Or
one of the greatest things he taught me about myself. That's a tough one. Oh, that's a very tough one. he basically taught me that with the right medications, and if I keep doing it the right way, that there'd be hope for me. He never made me feel like there wasn't hope. He always kept me trying to find the right medications, bumping my medications, understanding things that I never thought that anyone else would ever understand. He would, you know, he gave me advice of things like coping skills and stuff that I didn't really take most of his advice because I tend not to listen to anybody about anything. But the fact that he was trying to help me made me feel like, okay, so I'm obviously not the only person that deals with this if he comes up with these ideas.
Yeah.
So that's what I got from it. I didn't take the advice. But I thought that because he had advice, he gives it to other people, so I'm not alone in this. And that made me feel better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's an amazing feeling, knowing that it's not just you.
Oh, the best, man.
I've talked about that a few times before. The thing I struggled with for sort of between the age of 16 and 20 was I just remember distinctly feeling, no one else is going through this, it's just me, and I feel like I'm broken in some way.
Ugh, it's a horrible feeling.
So it's amazing that he was able to give you that and help you understand that it's not just you. It's amazing.
Thank you. I liked him a lot.
So, I'm trying to think. 10 years is, like, a long time.
Like, right?
You must have made some, like, significant progress towards, like, learning how to handle your condition.
Yes, I learned a lot with him. He actually retired not too long ago, maybe like 7 years ago or something. So I had him for a while and got to see the progress, and he was always very proud of me and thought that I was doing well towards the end. So at least it left in a good way. It wasn't like he left midway through and I was still a shit show. I mean,
yeah.
At least he got to see some good come with me.
Yeah, that's it.
I know.
So, would you say that the relationship between the client, so the patient, and, like, the psychiatrist or therapist or counsellor, would you say that that's, like, really important and...
The most important. Most important. 100%. I tell this to people. I do talks, and I get this question a lot about the, you know, you should have a good relationship with your provider or, you know, your psychiatrist or your therapist. And it is so important. And if you do not like your therapist and you don't get along with them, or if you don't get along with your psychiatrist, leave. Go somewhere else. You're not doing yourself any good.
I love that.
In a relationship. It's kind of like, the way I look at it is, it's kind of like a relationship. You've got somebody in your life that you're going to tell things to, that you're gonna open yourself up to, someone that you want to trust, someone that you want them to care for you, you want to feel safe. And I feel like if you're not there, then you're not establishing a relationship with the person that's trying to help you better yourself. And I feel like that is just so important, because if you're not getting anything out of it, you're wasting everyone's time. Yeah. And you're not bettering yourself. And I know that people get very afraid of going in and breaking up with a therapist or a psychiatrist, but they don't get offended. I swear they do not get offended. I did a talk with this counseling place a few months ago, and I can tell you 100% that every single person in that room said that they all understand that everyone needs something different from therapy.
Yeah.
For instance, I need a man, and I need a man that is grumpy and hopefully a little old. I like a brick wall.
Okay.
When I tell my stories and stuff, I don't want to see sympathy in the face, because I'll get uncomfortable and I will not open up. Now, one of my favorite people that I present with is the opposite. She needs someone who coddles her and shows a lot of sympathy, and she needs a woman.
Oh.
So it just goes to show that not everyone needs the same psychiatrist, and everyone needs something else out of it. Like, they all need, you know, what's going to work for them. And if you're in a relationship with a psychiatrist or a therapist, it's not working for you.
Yeah.
And just leave. Go find someone else. It's not a big deal.
It's
Don't stop till you get comfortable.
Yeah. Don't settle for someone just because, I don't know, you might have had one or two sessions with them and you feel obligated, because
you're going to hinder your progress. Right, no, don't ever feel obligated to anything. It's your life.
Yeah.
The only thing anyone should ever feel obligated for is themselves. And family. Those people are kind of hard to get away from, too. Like, you can't just, like, break up with your family and be like, sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I'm good.
So, what would you say, it's interesting you bring up family, because the question I'd like to ask is, what would you say that you've had a supportive family throughout your journey?
I've had the most supportive family for my journey. I have literally, like, I am blessed times a million when it comes to who I have in my life. My father is, like, my number one best friend, confidant, since I was diagnosed. He he's been there through it all. So is my mom, but I was a teenage girl and she was a mom.
Yeah.
So, like, that shit wasn't gonna get, like, really gonna work that well to open up to, like, but I was so happy that my dad would take me out when I needed to be taken out of the house or do whatever. And anything I need medically, both of them, 100%, doesn't matter what it is, down for it, gets it, does it, brings me to it. I really lucked out.
That is amazing to hear.
Yeah, I'm blessed. Big time.
So it sounds like they're the kind of people that would go out their way to understand your condition and really get schooled up on it.
Yes. Yeah, I know for a fact they both read a lot of books. I saw a lot of books at the house that would say, like, you know, bipolar child or, you know, mental illness. And it was like, I never really said anything about it, but I knew they were there because I saw them. So.
What incredible people.
Yeah, they are. They're pretty spectacular, honestly. And I just, I'm very lucky because they've just backed me.
Away. That's awesome. What would you say, this is a bit more difficult, what would you say about friendships throughout your life? How's that been?
Friendships are terrible for me. I had very few, and I was bullied a lot in school, so I didn't really trust a lot of people. And not a lot of people really liked me, I don't think, either. I don't know why. I don't know. I think I was just kind of odd and off, because I was dealing with a lot inside, so I think I might have come off a little weird, like a weird kid or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, what happened was, it was these girls, they were very, very mean to me. So I hung out with men a lot.
Okay.
Boys a lot. I felt more comfortable. And then, but if there was a girl that would be nice to me, I would get very excited. And I had a few friends that I thought were my friends, but now I look at them and I'm like, I don't know who they were. Like, they weren't really my friends. I was just like a convenient friend. Like, they had their other friends and I was like always second or whatever. But I have a best friend now who has made me realize that all of those girls who I thought were my friends were nothing. And I now have this wonderful girl in my life that I'm so happy that, you know, I got this one friend. And I'm happy that, like, instead of having millions of girlfriends in the past that were okay, now as an adult, I have one that's stuck who I love.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
That's really nice to hear. Like, what was the connector for you in your head? What was, like, the unlock in your head that made you think, like, differently about your friends? And how did you find, like, your best friend?
Oh, it's just so weird. It's so weird. I actually knew her when I was a kid. And we didn't reconnect until way later in life. Like a year ago or something. And
oh, wow.
We instantly just bonded. And all of a sudden, you want to do things. I went to her doctor's appointment with her. I didn't want her to go alone. She's done things for me. We call each other. We talk to each other differently. And then I start thinking about those people that I thought were my best friends. And I say, that person wouldn't have done that for me. And I would say to myself, I don't think I would have done that for that person. And I've never wanted to like, really open up to a friend as much as I'm able to open up to her. And it was just, it happened so organically. That it was like, it made all the other stuff just seem like fake. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really special.
Yeah. She's great.
Wow.
I'm lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what, like, transition to make as well, like, such an important, like, lesson that you've learned. Because, like, you've got, like, so much time with that friend now, you know. Because, like, yep. I say, you're only 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You got, like, so much time, you know, and the happy memories that you can have together. It's just, it's amazing. It's really nice to hear.
Yeah, I really hope we're in the nursing home together, like, beating each other up with our canes or something. That's, like, my goal.
Yeah.
No, it's good, though. I feel very, very happy.
Yeah.
But it's just, those people that don't put you first. I was never put first in anyone's life, ever.
Mm.
The first person I was ever put first in is my husband's. He was the one. He was the first person that made me feel like he actually was putting me before his friends or before other girls, honestly.
Yeah, she cared.
Yeah, and that was it for me. And then that was the first, and then the second was her. So no one else really matters in my life anymore.
How did you meet your husband?
Oh, geez. That's a funny story. Oh, boy. So I was, let's say, hanging out with his best friend for a little bit there. And I had a boyfriend at the time and stuff. Like, that's when I was very unstable.
Okay.
So one night, this guy who I thought was his best friend texted me, and turns out it wasn't his best friend. It was this kid, Sean, who I had met before, and I thought he was pretty cute, and, you know, he seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
And so I called him up, and I said, "You want to go out tomorrow night?" He said, "Yeah." He picked me up, and we've been together ever since.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, married 5 years this month, like a couple weeks ago.
Wow. So,
yeah, it's just funny how it all started so differently.
So what was different with Sean compared to the other guys? Because obviously with bipolar, you mentioned earlier, that doctor said to you, you're going to find relationships very difficult, almost impossible. So what was the connect with Sean?
Do you want to know something weird?
Yeah.
This is where I knew something special. I didn't hide my medication from him. I used to hide my medication from people when I would stay over their houses, my boyfriends and stuff.
Yeah.
I would hide my medication in my pockets, in, like, you know, plastic bags, and then I'd go to the bathroom and take them secretly and stuff. And I started to bring my pill case to his house. And I started just telling him pretty right off the bat that I was diagnosed with all this stuff, that I told him about sexual abuse that happened to me that I never told anybody. I didn't know why I was telling him this, but I felt it. I felt comfortable, and I felt like he wasn't going to judge me, and that he was going to be there. I had a feeling he was going to be around for a while. And it was very organic how it happened, and it was amazing. And I actually didn't like it at first because things were too well.
It was uncomfortable.
Things were going too good with this guy that I ended up having an episode in the back of his backyard because I couldn't handle all of the good happening in my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was too much of a good thing.
Yeah. It was too much. It was too good. It was like, it was too much of positivity and too much of, you know, supportiveness. And he was doing everything right, and I hated it. I was waiting for something terrible to happen because that's what always happened.
But not with this guy.
No, and I felt right, and I usually felt very insecure, not very, like, important. Never really thought that anyone saw anything in me besides how I looked on the outside, because that was always something I struggled with. People were a big fan of how I looked, but not who I was.
So they would treasure your looks, but not the person on the inside.
Yeah, I was used a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was used a lot to go out and with people's friends and stuff, and then it would be like on one-on-one, it would be like nothing. It would just be weird, and you could tell it was fighting, and it just wasn't right.
Yeah.
But with him, he saved me, honestly. He saved me. He changed my whole life. that man.
Changed a lot of your perspective on relationships. And
he honestly, like, this is the honest to God truth, and this is gonna sound like I'm saying this or it's like a line in poetry or some shit. It's not.
Go ahead.
He taught me how to love. He taught me how to love, and he showed me that it's okay to be happy, and he gave me a happy life. Honestly.
This doesn't happen a lot to me, but I'm actually speechless. That is such an amazing story that you've just told me. I'm like, I'm choking up a little bit. Like, that is amazing, and it's so
real. I'm
nice
not
to hear that.
This up. I couldn't make this up. And I tried.
Just so you understand, this is a lady that was told that she would, like, good luck, you'll probably never have a good relationship, and you've got these really supportive parents, you've got an amazing best friend, and you've got a loving husband that understands your condition and has
yep.
completely changed your perception of relationships and you
felt life.
And life. Yep. I'm absolutely blown away by that. Amazing. So,
thank you.
What made you want to start speaking, helping other people?
Oh, okay. So, it took me a long time to get to a place where I was confident enough to start speaking out, even saying, you know, what I'm diagnosed with, what, like, you know, that I have a mental illness at all. For my birthday 2 years ago, I got myself a mental health ribbon tattoo on my ankle for myself.
Okay.
Showing that I'm now proud of who I've become.
That's awesome.
And right after that, I started really getting into, you know what? I want to show people that this is possible, because I never thought that where I am now would have been a possibility. Like, it shocks the hell out of me when I really stop thinking about who I really was. I mean, 10 years ago, I was a different person. Like, I would never have thought that I would be talking to people about it.
Yeah.
And I really have this thing where when I was a young girl, when I was diagnosed, I would see the TV commercials of, like, the medication commercials.
Yeah.
And the people on there that had my disorders were all very dressed in muted colors, and they didn't look very attractive.
Yeah.
And they didn't have an appeal that made me be like, this is really making me comfortable to come out. Like... So then when I really thought about more about it, and I'm looking up, like, I googled mental health patients one day on Google, obviously, so I said Google.
Yeah.
And the images that came up, they all seemed kind of alike. They all had on almost the same clothing, with the same hairstyle, same color skin. It seemed like that was the image that was in my head when I was a kid, and I was I didn't want to be like that. So I started really being like, I want to show that I have it, because I don't dress like that, and maybe there's a young girl who's just like me, who is so ashamed and doesn't want people to think that she looks like A or B. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to get into speaking. So I actually called up the place myself, scheduled an interview, surpassed the interview, went to training, got certified, and there you go.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
What has some of the feedback been like from people that have been in the audiences?
I hate saying nice things about myself, because I don't like to brag or... anything, but this is some of the things I've heard. Is I've been told I was the poster child for mental health, that I look like a mental health Barbie, which is why my Instagram account is Mental Health Barbie. that I'm amazing, that I'm strong, that I'm a fighter, that my story is inspiring. And that just fuels me more. That just makes me want to do more talks, talk to more people, reach out more. I want to keep going. I want to just get it out there as much as I can, you know?
That's awesome.
Thank you.
it's so lovely.
I'm blushing over here.
Yeah, it's awesome to hear that, and it's nice because there's so many more people now that, you know, might not feel alone or might understand what's happening to them or just know that they've got somewhere to go, like, if they need to talk to someone. It's just
absolutely, and there's so many resources now too. I mean, everywhere. I'm amazed. I feel like every day I find out a new place that is doing a new conference or a website or, you know, an emailing list if you need, you know, help with this. And it's just unreal about how much support we are getting in the mental health community now.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just, like, extremely, any way you go, you can find help.
It's on the up, isn't it?
Find someone, yeah.
I googled recently, like, mental health conferences, because I was curious, and I was looking into it, and I was like, I did not know how many mental health conferences there are, and that was just upcoming in the next couple of months. Like,
yeah,
it just absolutely blew my mind. It's crazy what you can find when you look for it. It's amazing.
I know.
So,
I know. I mean, and they have this other thing too. They have the suicide hotlines, mental health hotline. All of this hotline stuff too. It's crazy. It's amazing.
Have you ever called one?
I'm so happy.
Have you ever called a hotline at all?
No. I haven't.
No, I was curious because I used there's a hotline sort of over in the UK that's like really big called Samaritans. And it's where you can like call up and just talk about your problems, or you can just, you know, even if it's just someone to, like, sit and hear you, like, talk for a little bit. Or if you are feeling, like, suicidal, for example, you can call them up. And they're, like, specially trained people that can, like, you know, listen to you and point you in the right direction. And
that's so great.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my mum's a volunteer for them now, which is, like, really nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
you must be so proud of her.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, it's nice because, like, I can come home and, like, talk to her about, like, my counseling stuff that I do, and I know that she understands it, so it's nice. Yeah, I'm lucky.
It's crazy. It's awesome.
So yeah, I was curious, that's all.
No, I never wanted to do any of it. I never really wanted to talk to anybody. I was more of a, I'm going to slam the door in your face and sit in my room thing. Like, I just feel like I never really wanted to talk at all. Mm. But I feel like if I did, I probably would have called somewhere.
That's amazing. What do you think would, say that moment in the police station never happened and that fight with your mum never happened? What would be...
I'd probably be dead.
Really?
Honestly,
that moment was pivotal.
Yep, it was the worst and the best moment of my life. It was the worst moment because, I mean, obviously, come on, that's terrible. But it was the best because it got me to where I am today.
That is so amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sucks that it had to be my mom. It couldn't have been someone I, like, hated that I had to push. Like, come on, but hey, what are you gonna do? Can't go back in time, man.
Do you ever sit and talk to your mum about that day and look back on, like, how far you've come?
I don't like to talk to my mum about mental illness that much.
Okay.
I like to talk to my dad more because he understands more. My mom understands, but she doesn't 100% get it.
Yeah.
So most of the time when I say stuff, it turns into a fight. Because she's I'll say, like, I'm really depressed. And she'll say something like, well, why don't you go for a walk? Or why don't you, like, she wants to fix it so badly. And it kills her inside. And I don't take this any, like, way, because I know that it's hurting her, that her kid is dealing with stuff. But at the same time, it's like, no, like, that's not what I'm talking about. Like, that's not going to do anything. And then all of a sudden, it's full-blown fight. And yeah. I'm regretting what I said to her. And I'm trying to, like, calm myself down, because I know she wasn't saying it to be X, Y, and Z. She was just saying it to help. And then it just turns into a whole thing. So I try to just talk to my dad more. Yeah. And that's a day that I really don't think I'd ever be able to talk to my mom about, believe it or not, because it just... It kills me inside that it happened.
Yeah.
That, like, I don't really want to hear how she took it, because I'm afraid that could make me, like, really upset and put me into, like, a depressive episode or something. And,
sure.
And then we'll get in a fight about it, so...
The thing is, you've moved past it, and... You've got, like, a beautiful relationship now.
Oh, I do have a beautiful relationship with my mom. It's a different kind of relationship, because we don't really understand each other a lot, but when we get along, it's like perfection.
So, what would your advice be to a young person that is struggling with a mental health, you know, like, it could be a disorder, it could be, like, an affliction. They might not even know that anything's wrong. They might just be in a dark place. What would your like advice or words be?
My first thing is, don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
Because I swear, like, you don't know what can happen if you kill yourself. Like, you don't know what can happen in a few days or a few years. Like, you never know if you're gonna get better and have this amazing life. That's my first thing, because that always bothers me when people get, you know, so down that they're about to go and do that. It kills me inside, because I think, well, what if tomorrow is the day that they were going to get help? What if, you know what I mean? Like, what if it was going to happen for them and they just didn't make it that long? Yeah. They could have had something amazing. My second other thing, obviously, I would say, definitely don't be ashamed to talk about whatever it is you're going through, because someone out there is going through it too. Don't be embarrassed and don't be ashamed about it. And help is seriously not a weak, it's not a weak thing. Getting help is a strong thing. Be strong enough to get help, not weak enough to ignore it.
Wow, yeah. That's pretty solid advice.
Huh, thanks.
Because, like, I don't know what it's like for, like, females, but, like, especially in Britain, there's, like, a real harrowing sort of statistic that came out recently about, like, male suicides and how sort of high the rate of suicide amongst men is. I can't remember the statistic off the top of my head, but it's kind of been in the media recently, and the government's really made a push, like, in the UK to, like, you know, really try and get, like, people in general to talk about mental health, but also try and break the stigma around men talking about mental health. And I remember, for example, with me, I remember feeling as though reaching out to a counsellor. Like, I remember when my dad, like, told me about, you know, getting some help with, like, my mental health, and he said to me, like, you know, I think you should go to see a therapist, because, like, he said, you know, I could tell you sort of slipping away as a person. And I remember at the time, like, thinking, like, what a jackass, like, how dare you, like, say something like that to me. But, like,
hey, I probably would have said the same thing, man, honestly.
But, like, it was actually, like, one of the nicest things anyone's ever done for me. Like, I understand that now. But, like, at the time, if I'm really honest with myself, it's because I was afraid of saying that I had a problem and that I can't solve it myself.
You know, it's funny that seems to be one of the biggest things. Like, honestly, that seems to be one of, like, the biggest, like, problems, is that people don't want to see it. Mm. Or they, you know, they don't see it and someone said something and you take it completely the wrong way because they, you know, they're just trying to help you, but you're looking at it like they're saying something so bad. And I feel like that happens all the time. Like, the amount of stories I've heard from people at inpatient units and stuff like that that say that that's how this all started, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
It seriously blows my mind. But that's so amazing that he, like, you know, cared enough and got you help and stuff.
Yeah. He you know, I walked away from that conversation, like, really, like, annoyed.
Oh, yeah.
I think secretly I knew that he was right, but I walked away really annoyed and angry, and it was about a month later. I was at my work, and I was just, you know, when you're having one of those days where you're just like, today's the day I'm going to do it. I'm going to go home and just, that's it. It's all over. Like, it just felt like the whole world was up against me, and I felt like I was on my knees being beat to the ground, and then more punches were being, like, thrown. So, I'd remembered what my dad said, and I went outside, and I literally just went on Google, and I typed in, like, find a therapist, like, near me, or something like that. And I literally rang the first number that I found. And that's how I found my therapist that I've been with for 5 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a story, man. That's a good story.
Yeah, it's, that's why I do this, because I'm grateful that I had that conversation with someone. And it's just, I'm like you, where I really want people to, like, find, I really want them to find that unlock, that thing that says, okay, you know, I'm going to give myself permission to go get help now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's so many different versions of that for other people that
it's absolutely
worthwhile to keep trying. Yeah.
Not always therapy, too. I mean, you got to find, some people don't even, you know, people hate therapy and people don't need it and stuff, but I feel like everyone needs to find that one thing that can make them feel better.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, the beach. Like, I love the beach. Beach is more my therapy than actual therapy.
Really?
Because I was telling you, I hate therapy.
Yeah.
But when I go to the beach, I, you know, can center myself and think for myself and really reach in and pull out what I need to get through. And I think that it's important that everyone finds something. It doesn't have to be therapy, but something.
It's really interesting you say that. There's a girl on, like, on my counselling course that I'm on, and we're all talking about the future, like, oh, what we're gonna do next, what courses we're gonna go on, and most people were saying, yeah, I'm gonna carry on and continue, like, counselling. And this one girl turned around and said, I'm actually going to become a yoga instructor. And we all turned around like, what? And she was like, well, yoga's like my therapy. And she said, I want to teach it to other people so they can give therapy to themselves.
I'm jealous of people that can do yoga. I'm so jealous of people. I can't even sit still for 5 minutes. I end up, like, wanting to throw things. Like, sitting there and, like, closing my eyes and doing, like, little movements and stuff, like, to me, it's like a nightmare, but, like, I want to do it because it just looks so peaceful and calming.
Yeah. I find that really difficult. My mind goes at, like, a million miles an hour.
You know what? Have you tried archery?
No.
Archery is my favorite thing in the entire world.
Really?
And, yeah. When I am standing at this target, and I have this weapon in my hand, I have an entire hour where nothing goes through my mind, and I've never once in a million years would have thought that there would be anything that could clear a mind. and archery does it for me. So you should try that or something, man, because it really, like, opened my eyes. And I did it for fun. I didn't even do it to
You just found it by accident. Get that out of it.
I went for my birthday last year with my father for the first time because I was turning 30, and I said, I want to do something on my 30th birthday that I've never done before. I want to go shoot arrows.
No way.
And I went, and I never would have thought that I would have found the one thing that keeps my mind still for a whole hour.
That is amazing. No, I'll give that a go. Like, my friend's dad is like an archery instructor, so it's really weird that he said that.
It's amazing. And I think it honestly, like, it might have to do with the weapon thing, because, like, you can't fuck around when you've got a bow in your hand. Like, you've kind of got to be kind of cautious in a way.
Yeah.
And it's just you and this target, and you're just shooting these arrows into a target, and they fling. They just go so fast, and you're just like, whoa. It's like every single time you let go, it's like punching a punching bag or something. But you have nothing to look at but this target. And I don't know why it does it, but, man, it really just clears you for an hour. It's like when you leave there, I feel like I left, like, the most amazing therapy session in my life.
You know what? I'm going to give that a go.
Yeah!
That sounds awesome.
you got to let me know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Archery, like, when you were talking about the beach, I was like, I totally get that because I love going to the beach as well, and I find it's a really good space to, like, empty out my head, or I just get really, like, thoughtful and reflective when I go there.
Don't your problems seem kind of small, too, when you're staring at an ocean and you start looking at this world, like, you're, like, not even, like, traveling far or whatever, you go to your local beach, you sit there, you look at this huge ocean, and you just think, shit, man, there's so many other people out there struggling with this and that, terminal cancer, and people just lost their mother and their father. Why the hell am I sitting here feeling sorry for myself? And then you get up and you're kind of like, huh, check that shit out.
Yeah.
I'm walking with stride now. My walk changed a bit.
Do you do anything like, for example, like gratitude journals or journaling anyway? Do you do any like tools like that, or have you got any tools that you want, like, people to hear about that they might not have heard about?
I love the idea of journaling, and I've tried to journal so many times. Like, I even would buy, like, all the pretty pens and everything. I'd write about 3 words, and then I'd be like, this isn't for me. I'd be like, yeah, no, man, I can't do this. I've tried so many times. I envy people that can journal. Because I feel like that is such a wonderful way to express yourself. I'm more of a talking person, so I, you know, like, I speak to people about it, like my family and stuff, of what I'm going through and everything, but I just envy people that can journal. What do I do to get it out? I don't really have anything that is that concrete. I like to exercise and stuff. I don't really,
No, it's okay. Exercise is amazing tool, like, for, like, mental health. You got, like, all those endorphins, and, like, it's the, like, discipline of doing it as well is really helpful for mental health.
Oh, I love it. I love exercise.
It's a
big fan of classes.
Oh, like spin class or...
Yeah. Spin class, I do basic training. I go every day. I go to the gym 5 days a week. I do a class every day.
Wow.
Every morning I get up around 7 in the morning, 2 days a week, 3 days a week I get up at 7. And I used to not be able to get up till like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I would still be drowsy. So even just doing that sometimes will make me be like, whoa, like, are you really getting up at 7? Like, you get kind of proud of yourself for even that. I'm like, screw the exercising, I got up at 7.
How do you feel, like, in your head when you've been exercising versus, like, when you have been through a period where you've not been exercising? If that makes sense.
when I'm exercising, I feel like I am, like you said, releasing the endorphins is so important. I feel like you get to, you know, you just feel happier after and stuff. When I don't work out for a few days, I feel like I haven't worked out in a month. And I start to get really down on myself a little bit, and I get really, like, you know, just kind of not happy with the fact that I stopped. And I mean, it's never been because I've wanted to. It's mostly been because I've been sick or something.
Yeah.
But even then, I don't like the feeling of not being able to release those endorphins. I can't work out for 2 weeks because I just had surgery, and I'm in a nightmare. It's been 2 days, and I'm like going crazy here. I just want to go run. I'm like, come on, when is the 2 weeks up?
Oh, 2 weeks. That's a little while.
Yes. Well, they say I can walk 3 miles a day, starting Friday. So, best believe I'll be walking on Friday, which is tomorrow. So, which I don't even think I think I'm supposed to be starting like really slow, but you know, good luck to the people that thought that was going to happen. Anyone that knows me knew it wasn't going to happen, so it's all good. I'm not surprising anybody.
I've got another question for you. Who in the like mental health community, or it can be like a celebrity, or it could just be like a figure in your life, like who is it that like inspires you? And yeah, I'll leave it at that actually.
Nobody.
Interesting.
Me.
You inspire yourself? I like it.
I inspire myself.
What is it about yourself that inspires you?
I don't know. I never look at other people. I never really have compared myself to other people. And I don't know. I mean, I've always, like, it's funny you actually say this, because my psychiatrist a long time ago brought this up to me and said, you know, you should, you know, have role models in, you know, mental health and stuff. And I said, no, because I don't know what they're going through. How can I judge what they're going through with what I'm going through? I don't want to look up to somebody that has anxiety or whatever when their anxiety isn't the same as mine. So I don't want to have this view on what my life, you know, could be like or whatever. I need to pave my own. And he kind of was just like, what? And I try to just make sure that the me that I want to be is the person that I look up to. Yeah. And I just strive to keep being that person that would make young me proud. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
That's awesome.
Talking in circles.
That is really nice to hear. I didn't expect that answer. You said a lot of things today that have just made me either beam, like have a massive smile across my face, or have like really touched me like emotionally. Yeah.
Okay, I'm really blushing right now. Enough with the nice stuff. Come on. Call me like a bitch or something. Let's get this normal, please.
Yeah. So like, how can people find you? Like, how can people find you and show you some love or reach out and connect? Like, where can people come find you?
My Instagram is Mental Health Barbie. There's no numbers or anything. I'm the only one.
Yeah, you're the only one.
I was psyched, man. I was so psyched when like I went on there and I typed in my name and I thought it was going to be like, okay, suggested thing, Mental Health Barbie, XXO512 or something like that. And none of them came up. I was psyched.
Yeah.
So it's just Mental Health Barbie, no caps, no spaces.
That's Instagram. Awesome.
Yeah.
I think you'll really get a lot out of looking at Jenna's posts. You're quite honest about what's going on for you and your feelings and emotions. And I think that's like what sort of drew me to you, because I really value like people who are like quite transparent, and really people who are just like straight shooters. They say what it is they're feeling when they feel it. I like that and respect it.
I get a lot of comments about that at my presentations, because a lot of the people I present with speak beautifully.
Yeah.
And they are very poetic. And I'm just all raw. That's always the one thing that comes up on my evaluation seats, like, so often. It's like, she's so raw and transparent. Because I don't have that, I can't be that person that can talk about, oh, my depression is like an ocean, that the waves are crashing against the, it's just not me. I can't do it. I always thought I was inferior when I started doing presentations, and I was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because everyone I did it with spoke so beautifully and, like, made such an impact when they spoke, and that just wasn't me, so I didn't even know what I was doing. I was like, oh my god, maybe I'm not cut out for this.
No. Yeah. One thing I know from talking to you is you're definitely cut out for this.
Aw, thank you.
And, like, I'm a little bit of both. Like, I use, like, metaphors sometimes because, like, I think that's, like, the way I think is, like, in metaphors sometimes. But then, like, there's other times where sometimes you just can't say anything any other way than being straight to the point and, like, cutting deep. And, uh-huh. Like, I think there's some stuff in mental health where you just can't mince your words. You've just got to be like, it's this. It's going to be brutal. Here's how, you know, you can help yourself and, like, manage it. But that's the reality, because there's no time for fluff.
Nope.
But yeah, that's, yeah.
But just, mental health is brutal. Even if you only have a tiny bit of anxiety every day, that shit sucks.
Yeah.
And I feel for anyone that has to struggle with this.
Yeah. 100%.
Difficult.
So that's been the episode for today, and I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking and sharing your life story. It's been a real privilege. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's all right. Yeah, you're welcome. I'm Dan Udell. This has been Know Yourself. Until next time, guys. Peace out.